Hi, this is Sassy Strawberry reading Thousand Autumns, 千秋 by 孟西石, Chapter 114. Translation by myself and edited by Yuki Ryu and Happy Beth. When Yan Wuxi returned from the palace, Shen Qiao and Bian Yanmei were each holding a chess piece while playing against one another. Their expressions were leisurely and comfortable, making it evident that they had concluded their official business. Seeing that Shen Qiao had already changed out of his costume, Yan Wuxi couldn't help but feel a sense of regret. He felt that Shen Qiao in female garb was a rare and beautiful sight. However, such words could only be kept to one's thoughts, not to be said aloud. If he spoke his mind, no matter how good-tempered Shen Qiao was, he would not be able to endure it. Bian Yanmei hurriedly put down his chess piece and rose to his feet to perform his customary greeting. He beamed with delight, saying, "Congratulations to Shi Zun on his return. Xue Ting, na lao tu lu, facing punishment for his crimes and being sentenced to death, this is truly a setback that the Buddhist faction would find difficult to recover from." Yan Wuxi was still dressed in the getup of a handmaiden, but he had already torn off the human skin mask, revealing his true countenance. He looked somewhat comical, but because of his astonishingly imposing presence, no one would dare to laugh, even if he had been dressed in shabby rags. After hearing Bian Yanmei's words, he replied, "Na lao tu lu isn't dead." Bian Yanmei was stunned at this. Yan Wuxi faintly smiled as he said, "Given his identity and status, wouldn't it be a pity if he simply died? At the very least, we should exchange him for something. Although he has entered Buddhism's door, he still continues to linger in the red dust of the secular world. If he's willing to behave less ignorantly and learn to practice some self-respect, what is the harm in letting him keep his dog life?" Bian Yanmei didn't know what he intended, but since Yan Wuxi had said this, he would definitely have something in mind, so he respectfully responded in agreement. Yan Wuxi asked, "Has Pu Liu Ruying been rescued?" Bian Yanmei replied, "Yes, this disciple has already sent Pu Liu Ruying back to Sui Guo Gong's residence. Chen Gong has perished. Mu Rongqin is severely injured and is currently being detained and is to be questioned later so that he can provide his testimony." Yan Wuxi merely replied, Xue Ting Chan Shi's skills were deep and profound. Although Yan Wuxi had won their match, he had still sustained some injuries. He covered his mouth and coughed quietly. Bian Yanmei was about to say that he would go and find some injury medications when he spotted a trace of bright red blood seeping from between Yan Wuxi's fingers. His injuries were this severe? Bian Yanmei was stunned and hurriedly said, "Shi Zun, are you all right? This resident still has Qing Xin Wan." Yan Wuxi waved his hands at these words, then sat down where Bian Yanmei was originally seated. Although he was aware that the other person was likely pretending for his benefit, Shen Qiao still couldn't keep himself from asking, "Are Yan Zhongzhu's injuries serious? Do you require Pin Dao to have a look?" Once these words were spoken, Yan Wuxi obediently stretched out his hand and rested it on top of the chessboard. "Then I will have to trouble Shen Daoja." "Aren't you holding it out a little too quickly? It's as if you had already anticipated my question." Shen Qiao thought to himself. He placed three fingers of his right hand against the other person's inner wrist. "Your internal breathing is somewhat disordered and chaotic. It's possible that you have suffered some internal injuries, but they should not pose a major issue. With some medicine and recuperation, you should be able to recover in a few days." But even if he had suffered from some internal injuries, they weren't serious enough for him to vomit blood. He must have been faking it earlier, Shen Qiao thought in his head as he spoke. Yan Wuxi covered the back of Shen Qiao's hand with his own, tightening his grip. He smiled slightly and said, "I have troubled Shen Daozhang. with the way Bun Zuo had treated you in the past. You are still willing to forgive and forget and work together to face this danger with me. This kind of loyalty and sense of justice will be able to move even the hardest and the most unfeeling heart of stone. This pair of hands was fair and slender. They felt like a piece of jade that had been played with for many years. The thin calluses of the web between the thumb and the forefinger were the only evidence that its owner had been practicing swordsmanship for many years. If it was someone else who had said such words, Xin Xiao may still be able to reply politely to them. But he had long since developed some form of immunity towards Yan Wushi. Right now, the other person was still dressed in women's clothes. Hence, Xin Xiao found it even more disturbing. All the hair on his body had practically fallen off completely. Before he could retrieve his hand, the other party withdrew his own, as if the latter had simply wanted to express his true feelings earlier. Wearing an ill-fitting set of female clothing, even if the others didn't find it awkward, Yan Wushi himself felt uncomfortable. Bian Yanmei instructed others to prepare hot water and a change of clothes, and invited his Shizun to bathe and change clothes. The sight of the dignified Huan Yue Zong Zongzhu wearing a high-waisted Ru Qun was annoying and displeasing to the eye. Even so, he himself seemed extremely at ease, getting to his feet in a calm and proud manner. He didn't forget to glance at the cup in front of Shen Xiao, and then asked Bian Yanmei, "What's inside the cup?" "Honey water." Bian Yanmei wondered, since when did Shizun bother with such trivial matters? Yan Wushi said, "Change it to a plum drink. A Qiao doesn't like the cloying sweetness of honey water." Xin Xiao raised an eyebrow in his direction. He wanted to ask, "How did you know I dislike honey water?" However, he felt that his question was too foolish. Hence, he kept silent and didn't voice his question as he lowered his head to look at the chessboard. Bian Yanmei was also slightly taken aback at hearing these words, but acted as if nothing had happened. "Yes." Just as Yan Wushi left, Bian Yanmei followed behind closely, asking for instructions with an open mind. "Shizun, if this disciple may ask, should I continue treating Shen Daozhang as I did in the past?" "Treat him exactly as how you would treat me." Yan Wushi glanced at him, his look filled with implicit praise of, "This child is promising and worthy of being cultivated." Bian Yanmei's spirits were greatly shaken as he thought to himself that he had indeed correctly guessed the situation. In spite of this, however, the people of the demonic sects were not known to be righteous or moral gentlemen who would wrong themselves or subject themselves to grievances. Bian Yanmei had seen Yan Wushi pamper many beauties in the past, but those people were like the tanhua flowers that bloomed only for a fleeting moment, none of them ever staying around for long. He initially thought that this person's personality and temperament would be more in line with the saying of going through 10,000 flowers yet not without a single leaf touching one's body. He would have never expected the other person to actually, let alone genuinely, fancy a flower that grew in high places amongst the snowy plains and icy glaciers, unstained by the dust of the secular world. Shen Xiao's character and personality were something that Bian Yanmei had understood somewhat. He did not actually believe that his shifu would be able to successfully pluck this flower. Although Shen Xiao seemed good-natured and amiable, he possessed a set of proud and unyielding bones that would neither be bent or broken by the wind and rain. And he definitely did not seem like someone who would tread upon the path of Longyang. However, given his shifu's methods, once he has taken a fancy to someone, he would be determined to obtain them. With this in mind, Bian Yanmei wasn't sure whom he should sympathize with. He coughed lightly. "Forgive this disciple for speaking too much, but I don't see that Shen Xiao has such intentions." "No matter how I look at it, neither of you look like you're in love with one another." Yan Wushi gave him a look, asking,
Do you have any ideas?
Bian Yan Mei gave a dry laugh.
This disciple knows of countless means and methods to subdue women, but Shen Xiao is not a woman, and neither is he a common person. Hence, such common methods would not apply to him. However, there is an old saying of the fierce woman fears the persistent man. Whatever the situation, surely there must be some truth to it, no? Although it's just that.
It's just that what?
Bian Yan Mei replied, Shi Zun has an exceptional demeanor and a graceful appearance. If it were an ordinary person, even if you merely intended a passing fling with them, the other person would be more than willing to offer themselves to you. As for Shen Qiao, however, if Shi Zun tires of him someday, I fear that he would not let the matter go so easily. The unspoken implication with his words is, if you only want a dalliance as short-lived as the morning dew, there are many other beauties in this world. There is even a large group of people who is voluntarily trying to climb into your bed. But with Chen Qiao, aside from the fact that it would be difficult to get him in your hands, even if you did manage to obtain him, it wouldn't be easy for you to get rid of him in the future. As the saying goes, it is easier to invite the gods into your home than to send them away. Shen Xiao is still a grandmaster of martial arts after all, so you shouldn't invite troubles upon yourself. Yan Wuxi smiled and said, How do you know that all I want is a fleeting dalliance? Could it be that you want to spend a lifetime together with him? Bian Yan Mei was startled at this, but he didn't dare probe further and only said, This disciple understands. In truth, he still didn't quite understand it. Shen Xiao was indeed a rare beauty, but there were countless other beauties under the heavens. Shen Xiao was not the most eye-catching or dazzling one. Was it because the other person was also a top-tier martial arts expert that he held such enchanting charm and fascination in his Shi Zun's eyes? By the time Yan Wuxi had bathed and changed his clothes, looking refreshingly different, Shen Xiao had already filled most of the chessboard with his pieces.
You've met Pu Liuru Jian's two sons. What do you think of them?
Yan Wuxi asked in a casual manner as he took the seat across Shen Xiao. Shen Xiao hadn't expected for him to go on this line of questioning and pondered to himself for a moment before responding.
Da Lang is honest, dull, but neither stupid nor ignorant.
Erlang is smart, and has demonstrated his excellent cunning at such a young age. Yan Wuxi replied,
Your evaluation of him is truly pertinent. Dull, but neither stupid nor ignorant, truly captures the essence of it.
Shen Xiao said, With all due respect, Pu Liuru Jian is a man of exceptional aspirations and forbearance, and he may yet be worthy of being acclaimed as an enlightened and wise monarch once he takes charge of the country's affairs in future. However, when it comes to these two sons of his, their temperaments should really have been reversed. If the second son's intellect and ability surpass that of the eldest son, it may not bode well for the imperial dynasty and its people in the years to come.
Yan Wuxi laughed and replied, Ah Qiao, you are really thinking too far ahead. Has there ever existed an imperial dynasty that remained invincible and undefeated? Even Ying Zheng had delusions of creating a legacy that could be passed down for thousands of years. Yet in the end, that dynasty did not survive past the second generation before dying out entirely. Who knows if his two sons will survive and manage to reach adulthood? Who knows if Pu Liuru Jian would truly be able to spend even 10 years as emperor before being supplanted by someone even more formidable? All I need to know is that the person I'm currently working with is capable of maintaining a clear head and will not act with negligence or ineptitude, and that will more than suffice. As for the legacy and inheritance of Pu Liuru Jian's family, it's not as if I'm his father, so why should I worry about it on his behalf?
Shen Xiao said, Since Yan Zhongzhu has his own opinions on the matter, I will not speak further on it.
Yin Wuxi said, Pu Liuru Jian intended to find a teacher for them. Since you've responded in this manner, I can see that you don't find either of them suitable. When we return, I will decline their request on your behalf. Shen Xiao asked out of curiosity, Yin Zongzhu's martial arts are superior to mine. Why didn't they come to you for this? Yin Wuxi replied with a smile, Since you don't think highly of them, naturally I wouldn't think highly of them either. With our relationship, if we do not advance and retreat in tandem, wouldn't it make others misunderstand us? What kind of relationship do we have? When you put it in such a way, how could others not misunderstand us? Shen Xiao was stupefied by his ability to distort facts and turn black into white. He sighed. Yan Zongzhu worries too much. Pin Dao is not of Huan Yue Zong. Even if we do not advance and retreat together, it will not cause any misunderstandings. This revolt in the palace truly embodied the meaning of the words, speed is of the essence in times of war. With the assistance of Yan Wuxi, Shen Qiao, and the others, Pu Liuru Jian grasped control over Yu Wenyun and made use of the latter to exert his dominance over the political situation of the imperial court. As an experienced politician, he did not allow this bloody conflict to extend beyond the rest of the capital, let alone allow it to leak to the outside of its borders. Before anyone had time to respond to the changes, the capital had already gone back to its usual state of quietude and tranquility. Prior to this, in order to ensure that he would get to fully enjoy his hedonistic pursuits and avoid interference from the courtiers, Yu Wenyun had abdicated the throne to his son, Yu Wenchan, whilst proclaiming himself as Tian Yuan Huangdi. As a result, even after Pu Liuru Jian had seized control of the situation, he had not even needed to set up another puppet emperor. The 8-year-old Yu Wenchan still remained as the emperor, only with an additional regent. Yu Wenyun had dug this pit for himself, ultimately falling into a trap of his own making. After Pu Liuru Jian had grasped the reins of power, he did not hurry to establish himself as a new emperor. Instead, he supervised the country as the Zuo Da Cheng Xiang. He later made a public announcement that Yu Wenyun had died of illness, and he discontinued the reconstruction of the imperial gardens. In quick succession, he also recalled the officials who had been banished from the capital for admonishing Yu Wenyun and reinstated their original positions, thus restoring their reputations. These two actions alone had already won over the hearts of the people. With a new monarch would come a new cabinet of ministers. Pu Liuru Jian's assumption of the reins of power also signified that the auspicious days that the Buddhist faction and the He Huanzong had previously enjoyed would soon become a thing of the past. Even if one did not mention He Huanzong, both Sang Jingxing and Yun Xiuxiu weren't even in the capital during the time of the uprising. How would the remaining people be any match for Yan Wuxi and Bian Yinmei? Since Yu Wenyun had taken over the throne, the Huan Yuezong had to hide in the shadows and pretend to be helpless and pitiable. But now, the days of hardship were finally over, and the days for exaltation have arrived. Bian Yinmei no longer had to endure patiently, and he soon launched an attack, eradicating all the forces of He Huanzong within and outside the court in one fell swoop. After Xue Ting Chan Shi's martial arts were destroyed by Yan Wuxi, he was imprisoned on the charges of bewitching and confusing the previous emperor, and of immoral administration. Once Xue Ting fell from power, the Buddhist disciples within the capital city had also lost their support, with the monkeys scattering after their tree had fallen. Their temples were seized and closed down by the local authorities, and the Buddhist disciples either fled in all directions or admitted their guilt and surrendered to the imperial court. Yan Wuxi did not have any intentions to chase down and exterminate the Buddhist faction. He was aware that Confucianism, Buddhism, and Taoism have been passed down traditionally within the Central Plains for a very long time, and are deeply rooted in the people's hearts, each with its own loyal believers. with such deep and profound roots. It is not something that can be just uprooted or destroyed by human means. At worst, they would continue to exist in a temporarily weakened state. One such example was when Yu Wenyong had enacted a vigorously violent and destructive extermination of the Buddhist faction, killing numerous monks, demolishing many temples, raising a great number of Buddhist scriptures and classics. Yet as soon as he died, the withered weeds rejuvenated with the winds of spring. What the Huanyuezong needs is only the support of those in power and their right to speak up, not the obliteration of the Buddhist faction. Even without the Buddhist faction, there still are the Taoist and Confucian factions. There will be no end of targets to eliminate. The best way forward is for all powers to maintain a relationship of mutual equilibrium with one another, without one party being able to do anything about the others. This way, it is unlikely that there would be a situation where a single dominant power would emerge, allowing this solution to be sustainable over a long period of time. His way of thinking coincided with Pu Liu Ruijian's plans, hence their cooperation proceeded very smoothly. To express his gratitude for Yan Wuxi and Shen Qiao's contributions, Pu Liu Ruijian not only ordered the construction of a Xun Du Guan within the capital, but he also conferred upon Shen Qiao the title of Tong Wei Yun Miao Zhen Ren of Xun Du Guan. He had also generously handed some business dealings pertaining to the imperial family over to Huanyuezong for them to manage. Then, sometime after when he implemented the three provinces and six departments system, he also appointed someone of Huanyuezong in one of the most lucrative senior official positions, the Minister of Public Works. The Sui Dynasty had always maintained a good collaborative relationship with Huanyuezong, until Yang Guang ruthlessly turned his back on them, reneging on their agreement. But this story is for another time. During the second month of the year, after the palace uprising, not long after the Lantern Festival had passed, the Emperor of Zhou, Yu Wenchan, expressed that Pu Liu Ruijian was of noble character and of great virtue, and had the makings of a wise monarch. Due to his own young age and ignorance, he was unworthy of his position as emperor and announced his intention to pass the throne to Pu Liu Ruijian. Pu Liu Ruijian had declined three times before accepting the Lingguang Palace together with the imperial throne. Dynasty name was then changed to Sui, and the era of his reign was named Kai Huang. He also announced that in order to recognize his ancestors, he would change his family surname back to the Han surname of Yang and proclaimed a general amnesty. The new monarch has ascended and the north has changed dynasties and a new regime has begun. Ever since the Jin dynasty collapsed and the Wuhu people entered the central plains, after several centuries of tempestuous and turbulent times, the country has finally ushered in a new era. For the common people, the tempestuous storms within the imperial court and the licentiousness and the promiscuity in the palace had nothing to do with them. Their requirements were very simple, to be well clothed and fed. In the end, the new situation in the imperial court still brought about change. Even if one didn't mention the rest, the proclamation of the general amnesty alone was sufficient for the general populace to not have to pay any taxes for this year, easing their daily burdens. Having more spare cash on hand naturally resulted in more smiles. Shen Qiao felt some emotions stirring his heart during this journey. "It is only at this moment that I do not regret the decision I made on that day," he said. "The streets are bustling and lively, with the crowds coming and going. Since there was a temple fair today, most people were out and about preparing for the upcoming Dragon Boat Festival. Colorful silk pouches made from five colored silk threads were hung about all around the little stalls and vendors that covered the streets and lanes. The luxuriant array of beautiful things filled one's eyes, causing one to feel dazzled by the sight." Upon hearing his words, Yan Wuxi smiled. "I dare say that A Qiao has been feeling nervous and uneasy in his heart this entire time." Shen Qiao nodded and spoke truthfully. These days, I have been worried that my involvement may have caused the world to welcome a fatuous and dissolute emperor, bringing even more hardships to the lives of the common people. The two of them passed by a stall, and upon hearing the stall owner's vigorous hawking of his wares, Yanushu casually glanced at the stall and bought a colorful embroidered cloth tiger. The tiger's head had a lanyard, and a silk sash was attached to its bottom. It was both charmingly silly and innocent-looking, while being extremely vivid and lifelike. Yanushu pushed the cloth tiger into Shen Qiao's hands. Shen Qiao was puzzled and asked, "For me?" Clutching the soft cloth tiger in his hands, he fiddled with it and moved it from side to side. He couldn't help but smile. "It's adorable." Yanushu chuckled and thought in his heart, "Ah, yes, just like you. Big cats and small cats are all cats. Benzuo spends all his time hanging out with cats." The two people toured the festival fair for some time before returning. Yanushu's Shao Shifu had been reinstated and unsealed, and Yang Tian had bestowed an aristocratic title on him. And the place was now known as Wu Guo Gong Fu. Yanushu was residing there, and since the construction of Shen Qiao's Xuan Du Guan was not yet completed, he could only stay there for the time being as a guest. The house steward, upon seeing Yanushu, hurriedly came over to report that Erlang Jin had returned and had brought someone back with him, saying that it was Shen Daozhang's Shidi. Shen Qiao felt that this was rather strange, and upon seeing the person who accompanied Yu Sheng Yin, he couldn't help but be even more shocked. Si Shidi,